Good morning. This is Sean Kennedy, the Interim Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm here on the phone with Brenda Cleary. And Brenda is the Director of the Center to Champion Nursing in America at AARP. And Brenda is heading up an initiative that is a collaboration of AARP in Washington, D.C., and the United States Department of Labor, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And part of this initiative is to do a series of articles in AJN to disseminate the work of the group. The series, called Uniting States Sharing Strategies, will run in AJN. It'll be debuting in January and running through July, and will describe the work of the initiative, which is a public-private partnership formed to address the issues that states are having in trying to prepare enough nurses. It's quite an ambitious initiative, and Brenda's here to talk to us a bit about how the initiative came to pass. So, Brenda, would you give us a little background?
Yes. Well, the Center to Champion Nursing in America was launched in December of 2007 with a generous grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Dr. Susan Reinhardt, who was a chief strategist and really the architect of the grant, and Susan Hassmiller from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Sue Reinhardt, chief strategist for CCNA, and here and the senior vice president for the Public Policy Institute, AARP, and Susan Hassmiller from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, really in their early visioning, were quick to realize that if the center, this new center, was to meet its mission of assuring a highly skilled nurse access to a highly skilled nurse for every American when and where they need one, we had to get busy and address the issues of educational capacity. We were thrilled to see a burgeoning interest in nursing, an interest from people who had had success in other careers and just altogether constituted an amazing talent pool for the profession of nursing. But we were running into a bottleneck in terms of being able to accommodate these highly qualified students. And again, there were multiple stories, and depending on the source of how many students we were turning away. So this seemed like the priority. This seemed like the strategic priority that this young center must start to address.
Right. Now that we're getting people to recognize that nursing is a great career option, the problem is they can't get into the program.
Yes, right. Yes. And, you know, so it's disappointing for students who are highly qualified, and it's a critical issue for the profession because, you know, if you look over the next several years, we're going to need every one of these qualified applicants and more to care for an aging population and to help really provide coverage, hopefully, for an increasing number of Americans. So we have the challenges are daunting, and the interest is high, but a bottleneck at the entry to schools of nursing is something that is not in anybody's best interest.
Right. So how did you start? I know you had summits.
Yes. Yes. So the good news is there was also great interest at the Department of Labor, which that makes sense, and the Health Resources Services Administration of the Department of Health and Human Services. So we had some public, very, very important public partners who wanted to work with us. So a series of meetings were held, and many influentials within and outside of nursing were also invited to the table in a sort of a national advisory capacity. And we designed the idea for a summit that would occur in June 2008 and had an application process in order to be able to attend the summit and really get a jump start on how to address the issues of education capacity and also be eligible for ongoing technical assistance by the Center to Champion Nursing in America. you know, this was a quick turnaround, so we...
Like it was very quick.
It was, and we wondered if, you know, people would even apply, and because we wanted to get at least 15 states. Well, 49.
Oh, wow.
We had 49 applications, and as a partnership, we did evaluate the applications and were stretched to accommodate 18 states. So in that first summit, we brought together 18. We often call them lead states because they were already doing great work in the area of education capacity, and so we saw them as leads, and but wanted to be able to support their work and hopefully you know, move things even more quickly than they were already able to do. You know, in some cases, these states were so strong that they didn't need a lot of help. But I think the most powerful part of the summit and then following the summit was their ability to learn from each other and to share best practices, so that if they were starting to work on an issue, they didn't have to reinvent the wheel. I think that's the most powerful work that comes out of all of this summit and post-summit work.
Right, the sharing part of it and allowing states to pick up on the successes of other states and not waste time on things that aren't working.
Yes.
Right. And so then you had a second summit.
Yes. So we, you know, after and throughout 2008, we worked with these 18 teams. And I have to say, Sue Hassman with Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, she was just eager, and the foundation was very interested in reaching out to other states. Probably sooner than this young center might have embarked on this journey, we we call it an all-country summit. You might call it an all-state summit, depending on your perspective, but it was... We had another summit in February of 2009, and we brought back all 18 lead states who did a lot of mentoring in this summit, and then we had invited all the other states that were not involved in the first summit. And I think the final tally was 48 states, and that included the District of Columbia. I think so it's probably 48 plus the District of Columbia, because I think we were already missing only missing Iowa and Alaska, although you know, there's interest in states that didn't participate or states that didn't receive the green light to receive heads-on technical
right.
assistance.
And the state sent teams, correct?
Yes. These were strategic partnerships that brought together, you know, nursing workforce entities, workforce development boards, so you know, labor initiatives, brought together employers of nurses, nursing educators at all levels, also brought together a variety of influentials and leaders in the state, from people who led philanthropic efforts to people in government positions, so really very, very strategic partnerships. No two states are exactly alike, but would involve some sort of bringing together of the kinds of people I mentioned.
Right. And out of this, my understanding is that there are several states that have made significant changes in key areas. Some states have strengths in one area versus the other. And so a state, for example, Oregon is one I know that has an educational redesign or remapping, if you will, that other states are now looking at. Could you talk a little bit about that piece?
Yes. And so you know, we actually have formal evaluation data from the first 18 states, and we're getting ready to do another evaluation survey. We get information in an ongoing way, but a formal survey that will include all 30 states.
Oh, great.
But Oregon is a great example. And Oregon is, I'd be the first to say, they were doing fabulous work. They were so far out in front in terms of innovations in nursing education that we are just privileged to have, to be able to be a conduit for having them share their work in a more in-depth way than you could through a publication or even a website. The Oregon model, the Oregon Consortium for Nursing Education, hits on several levels, and I think that's why there is so much interest among other states. First of all, it is a brand new way of partnering associate degree and baccalaureate programs such that together they produce more baccalaureate-prepared nurses. This is important in an increasingly complex healthcare world. It's also critical in terms of our faculty shortage, because part of the problem is we don't have enough people positioned to go to graduate school. So it's inordinately important. But Oregon didn't stop there. They really not only partnered in new ways to provide a more educated nursing workforce, but this wasn't your your mother's or father's nurse. It was at all levels preparing the nurse of the future. So really took a long, hard look at the competencies that are going to be needed and much better ways of teaching students and helping them to develop clinical reasoning abilities that are so important in nurses serving patients well.
So it wasn't just the supply or helping the associate degree nurses move quickly into the baccalaureate programs, but it was also the content of what education they were receiving.
Yes.
That was a new animal, so to speak.
It radically reinvented content at both levels and, opened all kinds of new doors, new pathways. So students were jointly admitted. Students started at the community college had a guaranteed spot to continue their education, even in place, but with the Oregon Health and Sciences Center involved. That's a major departure, that from proactively students were set up to continue their education. Also sharing faculty, sharing curricula, sharing simulation resources. This was just a whole new kind of partnership and teaching a whole new kind of content and helping students achieve competencies in new ways, competencies that they will need in the current healthcare environment. So it's a big deal, and we honor what they've done, and we are just really excited to in some small way help to disseminate this model.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Well, actually in AJN we will be highlighting the Oregon model as one of the states when we do the state examples, and so that will be coming probably in the March issue. The next issue after January, we will have how the ongoing technical assistance is helping states. So, Brenda, we're really excited about this series. We think it's a great service to nursing, and certainly hope that nursing educators will follow the series either online or in print and get some good ideas from it. And thank you and the Center to Champion Nursing in America for helping us bring this work out.
Thank you, Sean.
I look forward to more conversations about the work.
Me too. Absolutely. Bye-bye.